At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We take stacks of research, pull out the best bits, and make them genuinely useful for you. Today, we're diving into a really solid guide on healthy living. It's all backed by science. Think of it like a blueprint, you know, a roadmap to feeling more energized, more vibrant. Our mission really is to cut through all the noise. We want to pull out the most impactful stuff and show how small changes, strategic ones, can make a huge difference without feeling like totally overwhelming. So yeah, let's unpack this guide. It offers some really powerful insights.
Absolutely. And what's great about these sources, I think, is they don't just give you a list. They actually explain why each habit counts. And then, crucially, they show you how to layer them in. It's this holistic approach, you know, based on evidence, makes it feel doable, sustainable.
Exactly. Yeah. And the starting point in this blueprint, it's pretty revolutionary, actually. The sources are super clear. Start with sleep and movement. These aren't just like nice to haves. They're the foundation. They actually amplify everything else you do. It's the bedrock, the real leverage point. Okay, so sleep first. And specifically, our circadian rhythm. We all kind of know sleep is good, right? But this guide digs into why it's so critical. It's not just feeling rested. It boosts your immune system, sharpens memory, and has this huge impact on appetite. It balances hormones like ghrelin, that's the hunger signal, and leptin, which says you're full. Get that wrong. And cravings can really spike. Plus, good sleep means better insulin sensitivity, better mood. Your whole system just runs better. So the big question, what habits really matter for sleep? First up, regularity. Waking up, winding down, same times every day. Yes, weekends too. It's key. Then light timing. This is huge. Get bright light within the first hour you're awake. And then dim, warm light 2 or 3 hours before bed. Really signals to your brain it's time to wind down. Your wind down routine, also non-negotiable. Give yourself 20, maybe 40 minutes. Screens off. Maybe a warm shower. Read a bit. Some light breathing exercises. Whatever works for you. And finally, the sleep cave. Make your bedroom cool, like 17 to 19 Celsius. Dark. Think blackout shades and quiet, or maybe some consistent white noise.
You know, that point about regularity, about consistency, I think that's often missed. People focus maybe too much on just the total hours. So how does the guide suggest we track this or handle those nights where sleep just doesn't happen perfectly? How do we avoid getting discouraged?
Yeah, good point. The sources say keep tracking simple. Just note your sleep and wake times, maybe total sleep, and how you feel energy wise, like 0 to 10. If you have one of those fancy trackers, fine, but the main thing is consistency. Focus on the rhythm, not hitting some perfect number every single night. And speaking of consistency, there are also red flags to avoid. Things like long naps late in the day, caffeine less than, say, 8 hours before bed. Using alcohol as a sleep aid, it actually messes up your sleep quality later in the night. And yeah, those big, heavy meals right before bed, small tweaks here add up. Okay, so building on that sleep foundation, pillar number two, movement. And the guide really makes the case that physical activity is essential, way beyond just weight. We're talking better heart health, better metabolic function, stronger bones, sharper thinking, and it's seriously linked to living longer. It's like a multi-tool for your well-being. The sources break movement down into what they call the big three. First, aerobic stuff. Good for your heart, your lungs. Think brisk walking, cycling, swimming, running, most days. Maybe one session a bit longer or tougher. Then, strength training. Super important for muscle, for bones. Aim for maybe 2 or 3 sessions a week. Hit those main movement patterns. Push, pull, squat, hinge, lunge, carry, and focus on getting a little stronger over time, progressive overload. And third, mobility. Just 5 or 10 minutes a day. Hips, upper back, ankles, shoulders. Plus sneak in little movement breaks if you sit a lot for work. Micromobility.
That's a really solid framework.
Yeah.
But, you know, for someone listening who feels maybe a bit intimidated, especially by the strength training part, thinking, I have to become a gym rat overnight, what's the entry point? How does the guide make it less daunting?
Right. And that's where NEAT comes in, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It sounds fancy, but it's simple. It's all the movement outside of planned exercise. Walking, chores, standing up, taking the stairs, those little walks after meals the guide mentions, breaking up sitting every 30 to 60 minutes. All those small bits add up massively. And for starting out, there's this minimal effective plan. It's designed to be super accessible, like maybe Monday and Thursday, a basic full body strength routine, just a few exercises. Tuesday, Saturday, maybe 30, 45 minutes of easy cardio, like a walk or bike ride. Wednesday, 20 minutes of mobility work. And then daily, aim for maybe 7,000 to 10,000 steps, or just add 2,000 to whatever you do now. It's about building momentum, not perfection.
I really like that minimal plan. It just lowers that barrier, doesn't it? It acknowledges that starting small, being consistent, is way more effective than aiming too high and then quitting. It shifts the focus. Sustainable daily action, not just intense bursts. That really changes your baseline health.
Spot on. Okay, so we've got sleep, we've got movement, the foundations are laid. Now let's get into the next layer. Food and metabolic health. This is where it gets really interesting, how what we eat fuels us day to day and long term. A key message from the source is that your overall food pattern matters much more than obsessing over single nutrients. It's the bigger picture, the focus. Minimal processed plants, getting enough protein, healthy fats, and choosing smart carbs. All this helps stabilize your blood sugar, your lipids, reduce inflammation. It's about eating well sustainably, not some crash diet. And for making it easy, the guide suggests the plate method. It's pretty flexible. Fill half your plate with colorful veggies and maybe some fruit. Think fiber, think polyphenols.
Right, those plant compounds that are so good for you. Antioxidants, gut health.
Exactly. Then a quarter of the plate for good quality protein. And the last quarter, smart carbs like whole grains, sweet potatoes, or just pile on more veggies. And don't forget healthy fats. Drizzle of olive oil, some nuts, seeds, avocado.
That plate method feels really intuitive. Less rigid than counting everything, right?
Right.
Definitely promotes a better relationship with food, I think. But what are some common pitfalls here? Especially for feeling full and having steady energy.
It really does. And yeah, pitfalls. The guide stresses the protein anchor at each meal. That's key for feeling satisfied, for holding onto muscle, especially if you're active or over 40. For carbs, go for whole, less processed types. Maybe time bigger servings around your workouts. Fats, focus on unsaturated ones, olive oil, nuts, fish, and those ultra-processed foods. Keep them occasional. Choose whole food options when you can. Hydration, simple. Drink when you're thirsty. Aim for pale yellow urine. And to make it practical day-to-day, the guide suggests a simple weekly rhythm, like maybe 2-3 fish meals, a couple of meals with beans or lentils, try to get a big salad most days, keep fruit and veggies visible, maybe batch cook some basics on the weekend. Okay, that leads us nicely into metabolic health and weight regulation. The sources are clear, keeping blood sugar and insulin stable, and preserving muscle mass. Absolutely crucial. This drives your energy, helps control appetite, and lowers long-term health risks. The high leverage moves here are surprisingly simple. Protein and fiber at each meal helps you feel full for 3-4 hours. That short 10-15 minute walk after meals, amazing for blunting blood sugar spikes, seriously effective. And keep up the strength training to protect that muscle mass. Consistent eating windows help too. And this is important. Treat sleep and stress like metabolic tools. They're not separate issues. They directly impact your metabolism.
That connection is so vital, isn't it? Sleep, stress, metabolism, they're all linked. We tend to think of them in silos. But this blueprint shows how it's one interconnected system. Improve one area and you often get benefits in others. It's genuinely holistic.
That's a perfect transition. Our next big topic, mindset and environment. So how does all this play out in our heads and in the spaces around us? The guide has some really practical stuff here. First, stress, mood, and cognitive performance. Why does this matter? Well, chronic stress messes with hormones, disrupts sleep, ramps up cravings, weakens immunity. It's bad news. But the good news is you can actually train your stress response, build resilience, become better at handling things. The guide offers these great daily micro tools, small things, big impact, like 3-5 minutes of slow nasal breathing. Aim for maybe 5-6 breaths a minute, or try physiological sighs. That's a double inhale through the nose, then a long exhale through the mouth. Really calming.
Yes, I've heard about those. Apparently very effective, very quickly.
Super effective. Also, 5-10 minutes of mindfulness or just attention training. Practice cognitive offload. Get those to-dos out of your head and onto paper or device. And one I really like, joy reps. Do one small thing deliberately each day that brings you a little positive feeling. Listen to a song, step outside for sun.
These micro tools, they make stress management feel achievable, don't they? Not like you need an hour free every day. What's the key to actually sticking with them, though? Just scheduling it in.
Yeah, scheduling helps, or linking it to an existing habit, making it almost automatic, like brushing your teeth. For bigger levers, the guide mentions things like CBT or ACT journaling, prompts ways to challenge unhelpful thoughts, connect with your values, getting out in nature, aiming for 90 plus minutes a week. That can be huge. And social connection, actually scheduling time for real connection. Loneliness is a real health risk factor. And of course, a crucial reminder, if you're struggling with persistent low mood, anxiety, sleep problems, please seek professional help. Sooner is better. And it's not just our internal state, it's our external world too. Environment design. The idea is simple. Shape your surroundings so the healthy choice is the easy choice, the default. takes willpower out of the equation, which, let's face it, isn't always reliable. Let's get specific. Examples: light, morning outdoor light soon after you wake up, evenings, dim the overheads, use lamps, cut down on blue light from screens a couple hours before bed, air, open windows if the air quality is good, use cooker hoods when cooking, maybe a HEPA filter in the bedroom. Noise. Try to minimize loud, sudden noises. White noise can help buffer things for sleep. Temperature. Cooler bedroom, but keep your hands and feet warm before bed. Helps you drift off. Your kitchen. Make healthy stuff visible, easy to grab. Treats. Less visible, maybe single portions. Workstation. Decent ergonomics chair. Screen height. And try to alternate sitting and standing if you can. These small tweaks, they really shape your behavior.
It's amazing how much the environment nudges us, often unconsciously, designing for health, like the sources say. It's about removing that friction, making the good choice the path of least resistance, setting yourself up for success, really.
Exactly. Okay, we've covered the what and the why. Let's get practical. The how-to. How do you actually do this? Make it stick. The guide offers this brilliant 4-week implementation blueprint. It's structured, gradual, makes starting feel much less daunting. Just to give you a feel for it, week one is about foundations, like aim to sleep and wake within maybe a 45-minute window each day, get 5-10 minutes of morning light outside, hit 7,000 steps, or just add 2,000 to your usual count. And try that plate method for just one meal a day. Each week builds on the last. You layer things in slowly so you don't get overwhelmed. And there's also a really useful troubleshooting guide. Common problems, practical solutions, feeling exhausted. Check your sleep consistency, caffeine timing, late meals, room temp. Try adding a walk in daylight. Constant cravings. Anchor meals with protein fiber. Don't go too long between eating. Try that post-meal walk. Improve sleep if the scale won't budge. First, track your behavior steps, workouts, portions. Use clothing fit or waist measurement as a guide, maybe monthly. Increase NEAT, definitely strength train. And this next bit, I think this is maybe the most crucial advice. What happens when life gets busy and you feel like you're falling off track? The advice is shrink your habits to micro versions. Don't stop completely. Do just one set of your exercise. Go for a 5-minute walk instead of 30. Do 2 minutes of breathing instead of 10. Consistency beats intensity here. Just keep showing up, even if it's tiny.
That microversions idea is a total game changer. It redefines failure, doesn't it? It's not about stopping. It's about downshifting, keeping the engine running, however slowly. That builds resilience right into your routine. So life's curveballs don't completely knock you off course.
Absolutely. Okay, nearly there. The guide also briefly touches on personalization. How to tailor this. It acknowledges we're all different. Your chronotype, early bird or night owl. Adjust timings accordingly, but keep the regularity. Plant-based or omnivore. The patterns are similar, just need smart supplementation if fully plant-based. Older adults. Maybe more focus on power exercises, balance work, hitting that daily protein goal. Women's health. Thinking about how training might feel different across the cycle, making sure iron intake is good. And, super important, the guide includes a safety note, always. If you have any medical conditions, if you're on medication, pregnant, postpartum, talk to your doctor. Coordinate this plan with them. Tailor it together. This blueprint is a framework, a fantastic one, but medical advice is paramount for specific situations.
That's such a critical point. This gives you the tools, the principles. But the real skill is adapting it to your body, your life, with professional guidance where needed, making it truly your own blueprint, not just following a generic plan.
And there we have it, a deep dive into your healthy living blueprint. The core message, I think, is really powerful. Building real health isn't about being perfect or depriving yourself. It's about layering these manageable, science-backed habits into your life day by day. You've now got a seriously actionable toolkit from digging into these sources. Thanks so much for joining us on this exploration. So here's a final thought. If these simple fundamental habits like consistent wake times, a short walk after eating can have such massive ripple effect on your health, what's one small, maybe even ridiculously easy habit you could start today? What's the first tiny brick you could lay for your own healthy living blueprint? Think about it and maybe just do it.